but say, come on, give me a break. Move on, guys.
And for the vacation name, Roland Martin is the queen of news.
All hail the queen.
From Baltimore, April Ryan, White House correspondent. Hey, April, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Sybil. Good morning, Jay. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're previewing something that's happening next week. Monday starts the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida, with the theme, A Better Future. Well, Hurricane Isaac and Vice President Joe Biden are headed to Tampa as well to crash the party, it seems. But to preview the convention and so much more, with us this morning is the RNC Convention's newly minted Republican and Monday night keynote speaker, former Democratic Congressman Artur Davis. Good morning, former Congressman Davis.
April, good morning to you. Good morning to the Tom Joyner audience.
Good morning. Well, first of all, thanks for joining us this morning. And first, I want to get this out of the way.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for coming on. I want to get this out of the way. In 2008, you spoke at the Democratic Convention, and you supported President Barack Obama. Now, you've got a varied view. You will be a keynote speaker the first night of the convention, and you're going to be supporting Mitt Romney. What will be in your speech?
Talk about your 180.
Well, I am delighted to be there, first of all, next week. It's not a role that I sought, but it's something that I agreed to do. Because I do think it's important, number one, for me to talk about what I think has happened in the country in the last 4 years. The reality is, even if you're the most ardent Obama supporter, I think, in the world, it's hard to make a case that the promise of 4 years ago has been has been borne out. It's hard to make a case, I think, that we have the economy that we wanted. I think it's hard to make a case that we have the level of civil unity that we wanted 4 years ago. It's hard to make a case that we've come together in the way that we want it. That's been my big disappointment with the last 4 years. I think it's been the disappointment of many Americans. So I'm glad to have a chance to make that case, to talk about how I think we can do better.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, we understand the unemployment, black unemployment rate is higher than the average mainstream American. We understand that there are a lot of disparate issues still going around. But I'm going to throw something at you from former RNC chairman, who happens to be black, Michael Steele. He said that the Romney-Ryan ticket leaves questions for minorities as it relates to funding for health care and funding for HBCUs and other issues like the incarceration rates and teen pregnancy rates. And also, we've got a whole other issue with the issue of voter suppression. So talk to me about what you guys are going to offer the minority community when you're not even worried about voter suppression and voter ID issues.
Well, you know, this is a, I have a great deal of respect for Michael Steele, but let me be very candid with your audience. When I look at the Ryan plan, when I look at the debate about the budget in this country, I think there's always a premise that if you spend more money on programs, there's always a premise that if you throw more money at programs, that somehow that's going to be in the best interest of the people who ostensibly benefit from these programs. I don't think our history bears that out. And I'll give you one obvious example. The amount of hunger we have in this country among children, the amount of hunger we have in the African-American community among African-American children, there are 28 different federal programs that are directed at the problem of child hunger spread through three different cabinet agencies. Well, the level of childhood hunger in the black community happens to be the highest level that it's been at in a generation since the early 1980s. But yet we have, again, 28 programs over three agencies. Now, the argument, frankly, from the Democratic Party and the argument on the political left, if you will, has been that if you take a dime from those programs, that you somehow are taking food from the mouths of hungry babes, that you are somehow damaging the community and you're hard-hearted and cruel. The reality is some of those programs are redundant, some of them are repetitive, and they make it harder to tackle the very problem that we're concerned about. So the notion that if you cut a federal program, if you take dollars off the top of it, that you're hurting the recipients of that program, that's not borne out in a host of areas. Some of these programs we've got to make more efficient. Do I think that we need to make refinements to the Ryan plan? Well, frankly, Paul Ryan has made refinements to the Ryan plan over a period of time over the last couple of years. Paul Ryan is going to be the vice president if the ticket's elected. He's not going to be the president. It's going to be Mitt Romney who ultimately makes the decisions of what gets cut and what's not going to get cut. And obviously all programs ought to be assessed by their performance. They ought to be assessed by their efficiency. But the notion that if you cut a federal program, the notion that if you take money from a program, that you're automatically hurting the interests of people in that program.
But former congressman, we understand that Paul Ryan wants to cut monies in the ag department that will directly affect children, low-income children, who really don't get meals during the day except for at school, these programs for Head Start and things of that nature. So how do you justify that?
Well, I think that all programs ought to be assessed for their efficiency. If programs are working, then they ought to be given a chance to work even better. All programs ought to be measured by how they are performing. And Congressman Ryan, there's no question, has talked about making very strong across-the-board cuts. But let's put this in perspective. It's not that he's singling out these programs. He wants to cut discretionary spending all across the board. Discretionary spending happens to include the programs you're discussing, but the premise that if you take money from these programs, that you're automatically making them less effective, that's not the case if you run a business. Sometimes if you take money out of one department, you can make that department run more efficiently.
But Arturo Davis, how do you justify the plans that Congressman Ryan has put forth if your party won't even have a real dialogue and sit down with the president and keep working, not just walk away, but keep working on a real budget?
Well, this is the way the budget process works in Washington. I hadn't been there in 2 years, but I don't think it's changed a whole lot.
But you were there for a long period of time. You understand how it works.
That's the point I'm trying to make, too. I don't think the process has changed much. The president proposes a budget. And once the president proposes a budget, Congress has a chance to vote on it. Now, here's what's interesting. Not a single House member, not a single senator, Democrat or Republican, actually voted to pass the president's budget. Now, that's something a lot of people in your audience may not realize. The president's own party didn't vote to pass his budget. It's always a contentious process. It's always a process that takes a long time. Frankly, I don't remember the last time the budget process has worked the way that it's described in the text.
With due respect, they all came together.
Right.
There was a super group that came together, and it seemed that ultimately
most of the Democratic members voted against, but the president didn't endorse it either. If you're referring to Simpson Bowles, the president didn't endorse Simpson Bowles.
All right, one last question.
If the president didn't endorse it, and most of the Democrats from Simpson Bowles didn't endorse it, that's an example of the process not working.
Arturo, I'm out of time. Just give me a yes or no to this question. Do you honestly feel that black people will be better off if Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are elected?
I give you a very simple answer. I don't judge policies based on how it affects one's community, and I know that
yes
that separates us. That may separate us, but I judge policies
Do you think black people will be better off with Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan?
Oh, surely will be, because the economy, I think, will get stronger. But I don't judge policies based on how they affect one community.
Well, former congressman, we thank you for your time, and we thank you for your varied opinion. Tom, Civil J, and the audience, you got it. Former Congressman Arturo Davis.
All right, April. 25 past the hour.